The Catholic priest has the Bible with 73 books, and our books only have 66 books, and we're arguing with each other. Yes, no, not that, this, that, the other, and all the rest of it. We had a problem. How are we going to justify what verses we're talking about when we can't even agree with ourselves? How are we going to convince this man about the Bible? How? Finally, it became obvious we weren't going to ever agree on anything. So I turned to the Muslim and I said, by the way, how many versions of that book of your Quran do you have? Oh, there must be a lot of those too, right? He said, there's only one. One. And it's in Arabic. And if it's not in Arabic, then it's not the Quran, because Quran is recitation. Recitation. It's what you recite. And he recited some things for us, and I was amazed. He knew it in the original language. I had not seen anything like this before. A lot of people who look at Islam don't realize how powerful it is to have the original in Arabic language. They don't realize that. Because when you compare to other religions, they don't have their original books anymore. They have copies, translations, pieces of this and that, people's opinions, books written about it. For instance, if a person wrote a book today about the Quran, and 2,000 years from now somebody said, well, that is the Quran, that'd be a joke, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a joke? Well, that's pretty much what they got. Somebody writing about it. But it's not the speech of Allah. Next, we got off the subject because I see I'm not going anywhere with that. Next, another night, we're going to talk about what we believe. Because, after all, Christianity is the easiest religion in the world. There isn't anything easier than Christianity. You just say the magic words, you don't have to pray. You don't have to fast. You don't have to make hajj. You don't have to pay zakah. You don't have to grow a beard. You don't have to wear a hijab. You don't have to do anything except hope that it's going to work. You got to hope that God is really going to punish somebody else for your sins so you don't get punished. Not too likely, is it? So, I decided to talk about this. In explaining him about salvation, we came to a new subject. He said, how do you get saved? What will save you from going to hell? I said, well, that's what Christianity is best at. We have the perfect salvation. We have the grace. He said, how does it work? I said, well, the grace works like this. God can't forgive sins, so he sends his son to die for everybody's sin. He said, why can't God forgive sin? Well, I don't know how that works. He said, and if he can't forgive sin, then how come after he kills his son, he can forgive sins? I don't know how that works either. He said, and you're guilty, but his son is innocent. So where in history do we find it that it's good that innocent people have to be killed for the sake of the guilty ones? Well, I don't know how that works either. So we had a problem with that one. Especially when you consider, if your child is bad, really bad, maybe he did something to the cat, maybe threw stuff out of the refrigerator, ran around the house on a skateboard, broke the television set, broke some windows, maybe let the car roll out into the street and get hit by the trash truck. So you come home and you said, look what he did, but I can't forgive him, so I've got my other child over here that didn't do anything at all, so I'll beat him up. No, I'll kill him, the innocent one. People would put that man in the insane asylum, wouldn't they? They'll lock that man up for that, right? Society won't accept that, so why does religion accept it? And if you accept that, then it should be okay for people to kill their innocent children. But Islam forbid the killing of innocent children. They forbid it because some of the ignorant Arabs used to do that. Kill their innocent children, especially their daughters. Islam forbids killing of the innocent. Whoops. Well, I had to stop on that one. Let's back off of that. Well, forget about the Bible. Forget about the salvation. That doesn't work. He said, especially when you talk about salvation in Islam, we also say what you say. You say nobody is saved except by grace. That was everything we knew in Texas. I heard that so many preachers said, nobody is saved except by grace. He said the word for grace in Arabic is rahma. And the Quran begins with rahma. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yes? How many times Allah says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, throughout the Quran? Too many times. So many times Allah talks about rahmah. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, talked about Allah's rahmah. So much rahmah. One of the hadiths he talks about that Allah has 100 parts of rahmah. And one part of the 100 was used for all of mankind and all of his dunya. One part. All the mercy you ever saw or ever imagined since the beginning to the end is one part of Allah's rahmah. The other 99 parts is waiting for the believers on the day of judgment. And the Prophet said, peace be upon him, nobody is saved except by this rahmah. They said, even you, Rasulullah. He said, even me. So who has the grace? Okay, let's get off of that subject. I'm thinking, we'll move to something else. He says, can you talk to me about your belief in God? What do you believe about God? Which, God is one. He said, do you have Trinity? Yes, God is three. He said, I thought you said he's one. He is one and three. He said, how does that work? Because God can do anything? Okay, let me get back to you. So I go to my friend with the cross. Remember him? He's out of the hospital. I go to him. I start to tell him the problem I'm having with the Muslims. He said, stay away from them. I told you. I said, yeah, but they believe in Jesus was a miracle birth and Jesus was, you know, doing miracles and Jesus is with God. He's coming back. He said, but they don't believe in the cross. They don't believe in the salvation. I said, well, yeah, but he said, stop, stay away from them. I said, all I have to do is explain the Trinity. And I'm sure I'll get in then. But how can I explain that one equals three? He said, no, 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 no. Look, it's like an apple. The apple has a skin. Inside of the skin is the meat, and inside of that is the seeds. Three things, one apple, same way, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. Got it. Okay, got it. So I go back, and I'm ready. Clear off all the dishes after supper. Sit down, my father, myself, my wife, the priest, and the Muslim. Pull out the apple. You see this apple? Has a skin. Inside is the meat, and inside of that is the seeds. He said, yeah, there's about 6 or 8 seeds in there. What is that equal? Yeah. Okay. He said, and looks like a worm crawling through it too. That could be 4 or 5 gods here. So, all right, let me get back to you. I'm going to go back to the guy with the cross the next day. I said, okay. The apple didn't work. He said, stay away from this guy. I said, opposite. The apple didn't work. I told him what happened. He said, "It's not. Forget about the apple." I said, "Okay, I forgot about it. It's like an egg." God is like an egg. Alhamdulillah. He said, "The egg is a shell. Inside of the shell is the white. Inside of the white is the yellow. Three things, one egg." Said, "Yes." Now I'm ready. Go back. Clear the table. Sit down. Here we go. See this egg? Yeah, it's a pretty big egg. What if it's a double yolk? God just becomes four. And what if it's rotten? Ooh. Yeah, okay, forget about that. A few days later, I was in a parking lot. Some people talking to me. I was preaching as usual, and the fellow said,